We were our sickest at home, and I think we tend to react the same way to old situations. I think maybe a definition of growth is a new reaction to an old stimulus. This is a blueprint for living, and I'm sure I would have survived without it, but coping is not the same thing as living, and I'm grateful that I was given a chance to live. I want to hear from you.
Nancy, come help.
I have written down some questions. If you can find 20 people that you know have done the steps, I don't want to embarrass any of you. I'd like you to step to the microphone back there. Well, raise your hand if you'd be willing to answer a question about how a certain step worked for you. Come on, I've told you everything I know. Tell me something you know. She'll hand you a question if you'll raise your hand. As always, I talk longer than I intended to, and so I will need you to speak briefly. Who has number one? That's just a minute each. Who has number one? Would you go to the microphone? That's it. Would you read it and tell us your experience with it briefly, please?
Was it hard for you to admit powerlessness? Why or why not? They always say you get the question meant just for you. Very, very difficult for me to admit powerlessness. First of all, because, oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. And I knew that he was completely powerless, but thank you very much, there was nothing wrong with me.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
And I have been in Al-Anon coming up to 3 years now, and I'm only now getting my first step out of the way and realizing that, yes, my life was unmanageable, and I, in fact, am powerless. And I have to get on with my life, and whatever happens to him, happens to him.
Will you tell us your name and where you're from?
My name is Kay, and I'm from Orangeville, and I belong to the Aaron Al-Anon group.
All right, thank you. Number two. You going to do number two, Nancy?
Sure. I haven't even looked at it. That's
well, would you look at it?
I will.
Okay. Hi, my name is Nancy. And I'm a member of the Odyssey Al-Anon Adult Children Group in Oakville. And my question reads, were you bothered by the word sanity in step two? If so, how did you come to terms with the conflict? I seem to like conflict, so I stuck with it a long, long time. I was so angry that someone would say that, sanity was something that I might want to seek because I didn't know what it was. So my conflict was resolved by asking people what they meant. What was sanity? And it just meant being able to put one step in front of the other. One of my shortcomings, defects, or whatever was not being able to start something and get through to the end. I simply didn't know how to do it. And that was a process in my family. It still is today in the active disease. And so the conflict became not a conflict when I found out what sanity was and that I didn't know how to do it and I had to ask for help. Guidance.
Thank you. I said that it comes from the word meaning whole. I like thinking that I've been restored to wholeness because that's not to perfection. That's just to being a whole person, warts and all. Who has number three? Well, Nancy, honestly. Well, would you give number three to someone quickly?
today. I'm Peter. My home group is the Kingsway Group in Etobicoke. The step two is the trust step. Does trust come easily for you? Why or why not? Actually, to be honest with you, you taught me a lot about the difference between believing and trust today, so I'm not so sure I can honest that. I don't think, I have to say it doesn't. I think it comes very, very hard. I can believe in people, and that is very true. And when you showed me the difference between that today, I really stepped forward in understanding. I do not trust a lot. I even question whether I trust myself sometimes, even from that point of view, but definitely it's something that does not come easy. And
do you know why not? Were you taught growing up that you couldn't? Did you learn you couldn't trust anybody?
Yes,
I learned that growing up.
Yeah, as growing up as a rule in the family, I couldn't trust anybody.
Yeah.
I accept myself. Even from the point of view, I can think of many things I do that I feel if I have control over something, then I am quite willing or quite certain that it will get accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody else has, I have very little. Yeah, I. If it's critical, I want to grab
you
that control.
Bet.
And, yeah.
Me too.
Anyways, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your talk.
In 1989, the people I sponsored had a party for my 25th Al-Anon birthday. They rented a hall, the whole thing. And I was allowed to submit a guest list, and that was it. I thought it would kill me. I mean, they might not have done it right. And I would bite my tongue and sit on my hands. They sent out red invitations. I finally couldn't stand it, and I called Stephanie, who was ramrodding it, and I said, one sentence? And she said, one. I said, I'd like some record of who's there. Blanche, we have a guest book. It has a place in it for photographs, and we have someone who's going to take pictures. Anything else? Oh, I have trouble delegating authority, too. Interesting. Oof, do I? Number four.
Hi, I'm Maureen. talk about surrender. I thought by waiting that I would get a number towards the end, but she reversed them.
Well, yes.
Yeah. do I surrender easily? Step three. No. and that's a trust issue, and that's a fear issue, and that's a fear of rejection issue. I'm also one of these people that likes to write and read and talk, and my program is just beginning to move me back into action, I guess, in my life again. And I don't mind talking one-on-one, but actually talking in crowds now at this point in my life is scary. And so this was a surrender for me to take a number again today.
Good. Very good.
I used to talk a mile a minute, and then I got to the place where I actually was afraid to speak out again. And so surrender, it's choosing again to throw myself into the arms of God and trusting, loving God.
Very good. I remarried last September, I'll tell you. When was it, December? Well, whenever. Sometime recently I remarried. I had 5 weeks from the time we decided we'd go for it till we married. And my husband tells everyone that he had to rush me like that. If I were 20, you'd have sworn I was pregnant. That was the most hurry-up wedding. But he said if he hadn't, I would have read 10 or 12 books about it. I would have written extensively in my journal. I would have talked to a lot of people and then backed out. And he didn't give me time to do that. Number five.
Hi, I'm Colleen from Erin.
Hi, Colleen.
Were you apprehensive about the inventory in step four? No, I bought the book very soon after I went into Al-Anon. I just opened it and then closed it and never opened it again for a couple years. The second part of the question, if so, why did you go ahead and do it? I have been blessed in my life with a lot of very, very good people. I had an opportunity when I was at a very low point to be given a week to go on a silent retreat and I'm not a silent person at all. I had 2 one-hour times in that week where I could speak, and it was during that time that I did my fourth step and felt very strong, very relaxed, very much ready to go out to the world that I wanted to see, not the world that my husband, my mother, my children, that everybody else wanted to see. So that was a big growing time for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Who has number six?
I'm Rick. I'm a member of the Al-Anon Adult Children Group in Oakville.
Hi, Rick.
My question reads, what was the major benefit for you in Step 5? Step 5 was a marvelous experience for me. I hadn't been in the program all that long. I had a sponsor who I trusted and cared about a great deal. And the word that comes to mind is emptying. I was able to empty all of this baggage that I had been carrying around about the kind of person I believed I was. And I was also able, through my sponsor's help, to recognize my assets because my inventory was heavily loaded to defects. And she was helpful in restoring that balance between looking at defects and those gifts and talents and assets that I have. Thanks.
There are endless benefits, but one of the major ones for me was the woman with whom I did this first one. I wanted her approval so badly, and in spite of knowing everything about me, she loved me. And I thought, if she can, God can. You know, if a mere human being can accept me with all of these defects, maybe he can too. And that was very important for me. Who has number seven?
Hi, I'm Lynn. I come from Windsor. Hi. I'm from the Friday Night Group, AC, Al-Anon ACA. Hi. Okay. Did you take step five with your sponsor? And how do you feel about taking it with somebody else? Did you take step five with your sponsor? No, I didn't. When I did my fifth step, I did it with a spiritual advisor. He was also in the 12-step group. I took it because he was a spiritual advisor. I felt safe there. And I'm Roman Catholic, so I felt quite comfortable doing it with him. And he did give me some response as well. He talked to me. And how do you feel about taking it with somebody else? Well, I have to be honest, and the longer I'm in the program, for today anyway, and this is being totally honest, I like to say that I feel really trustworthy. Like, I feel like I could trust people, but right now I'm at the point in my life where I don't trust a whole lot, and that's the issue that I'm dealing with. As someone else that mentioned earlier, I'm feeling more that I have a sense that I don't trust like I could. And sometimes I don't even trust myself at this point. So that's really being honest, and that's good for me, because usually I say I got it all and no problem. But, yeah, today I have to say that that I'm really dealing with that issue today. And it's really nice to be here. But the only reason I came up here is because when I came into Al-Anon, I am so grateful for this program, and it's given me my life, that I want to give back what I got so much of. You know, that's the only reason why I'm up here. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Who has eight? Somebody has eight.
Yeah, I have eight. And my name is Joyce.
Hey, Joyce.
Hi. And I'm a member of Al-Anon Saturday Morning. Hi, group. They're everywhere.
Joyce, would you talk into the mic because
yes.
They're taping?
My sister was too short, and she was.
Okay.
I'm Saturday morning. I see my group members here. It's great. And also Monday night. Adult Children Al-Anon, so I'm a double winner. I have two groups, and it's good to be here. And My question is, were there defects which you found difficult to give up? Would you share with us about that?
Well, a few.
And I won't share them all, no. But I'm going to go with, first of all, the defect I did have all my life was that I had a younger sister. And there are things that she did before I did. And whatever that character defect is, it stayed with me all our lives. And she spoke before I did just a few minutes ago. And that kind of peed me off. She learned to drive before I did, too. So I think I'm a little bit competitive, but I hide it a lot, being the oldest child of five. And so the character defect there is I like to be number one, but I don't like to show it because, you see, I'm also an over-nurturer. So I can hide behind those two. I am considered to be an over-nurturer, but I always get what I want out of it, okay? And it also motivates me. Wanting to be number one, over-nurturing and teaching others in my family what they should do with their lives. And when they listen to me, what happens then is I get motivated to beat them. So then I usually achieve what I want to achieve. I think those are character defects I've been talking about. Would you share with us about that? Well, I'm not doing too well because I really don't want to share at all. But the over-nurturing, though, is really affecting my life. And the reason I'm going to tell you about the over-nurturing is that my daughter-in-law is sitting behind me, and she said, "What question did you get?" And I said, "Which one should I share?" She said, "You're over-nurturing." And she's never said that to me before. So now I know why I got up here to share. And I have been given a lot of opportunities to over-nurture. I have had six children, a lot of people, six children here this weekend. I've been listening to speakers. And three of them are my own, and three of them were chosen and through a second family. And I love all six of them very dearly, and I guess what I've just been told is that I over-nurture. And I have looked at it all, and Alana has really helped me to understand why I have done that and the need to hide behind nurturing others. And in Al-Anon, although I've been in quite a few years, I haven't done all that much service work because I'm afraid to get back in that pattern. And I have to know my boundaries. And so far, I haven't overstepped those boundaries in service. And I'm afraid that might happen to me. So I kind of look away when I'm asked to do something. But Nancy got me, and I'm glad she did. And thanks for listening, and have a good conference.
Thank you. If we had time, we would talk about the difference in caretaking and caregiving. Another of those fine lines. Who has number nine?
Hi, I'm Louise from Guelph.
Hi, Louise.
What is your definition of humility? I don't know. I can't quite read what's written here. Humility is surrendering to God's will and letting go of self-will. And I'm sorry, but I can't read the rest, and I wish I could, but I can't make it out. What is humility to me? Yeah. Put my foot in that one. I think being humility is... I don't know. It just... being able to talk to somebody and not being humble, like, ha-ha, I'm here, now listen to me, but being able to talk to them and listen to them and hear what they're saying is more humble, but I don't know how to really... I need help, I think. I guess the trust and the surrender, you know... surrendering to God, letting things go, or letting myself let them go, being able to say something to somebody that I need to get rid of. I guess to me that's what being humble or humility is. Thank you.
Thank you. Who has 10?
Hi, my name is Nicoletta. I'm from the Learning to Live Al-Anon group here in Toronto. And my question is, would you share with us one of the most difficult amends you had to make? And one of the most difficult amends I've had to make in the recent past was to myself, when I realized that I had to separate from my husband of almost 8 years. I married out of obligation rather than anything else, and 6 months into the marriage I really felt trapped and wanted to get out of it but didn't know how. And after having had 2 children I felt even more trapped, and I had sworn to myself that they would have the perfect life and not have a split up family the way I grew up, talking about there's a God and you ain't it. I thought I was it, and I was going to give them the perfect life. But I finally realized that I wasn't even able to see myself apart from the relationship, and I had to separate from it to get my life, to start my life in Al-Anon. And I'd like to share very briefly how that happened. That I had a dream shortly after my separation, in that I was sitting in my Al-Anon group giving birth, but not to a baby, but rather to myself. It was that whole feeling. And shortly after that dream, I had the opportunity to share my story for the first time in my group. And that was the experience of giving birth to myself and starting my life in Al-Anon. And it took a long time. It was a very long struggle to make the decision to separate from my husband, because I felt very guilty about it. And I'm so grateful for what Bab said last night about, if there's no room for spiritual growth in the relationship, try it on your own. And I realized that that's what I had to do for myself.
Thank you. Anne says we have to hurry. We have 10 minutes and we have 10 more questions. Would it help if you lined up behind the mic and then we didn't have to wait for you to get there and we could do them like that? Try that, would you please? Who has 11?
Hi, my name is Nancy. I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan. My question is, when you do step 10, is it written or oral or just mental? And how often do you do it? First of all, to get to 10, I had to get from 3 in particular to 10, and that has made the difference on how I work step 10. In the process of doing those things, I found out in working the other steps that I wasn't God. And in not being in a power struggle any longer with God, it has made it easy for me to, on a daily basis, to let God reveal to me what I did or didn't do, where I fell short, because I know by now on this step that it's not my responsibility to do it, just to be an open vessel. There are times, I always do it mentally pretty much on a daily basis, just staying in communication and to see what I learned today. But there are times when I have awarenesses that it's necessary I write them down. So I do always have a notebook with me, and that's worked real well for me. Thanks.
I'm Don from 12 and 12 in Hamilton. Good to be here, and I walked in. I met the first, probably, of the adult children. He's standing behind me, and I haven't seen him in years, and that was 19 years ago he arrived. And I think it's marvelous that he's still here, even long before adult children got started. But I'm not one of those. The subject, is it hard for you to admit that you were wrong, and what about saying you're sorry? Hard to admit feeling you're wrong? Yeah, it was like pulling a wisdom tooth. I had never, never apologized or said I was wrong. I evaded, I twisted, I turned, but never said it. I got to Al-Anon and found that was the only way that I was going to get myself right. I remember the first time, it was like 2 files rubbing together. The sound inside me was just incredible. It was just, It's getting better now, because I now know when I make a goof, I see the response. I can go off in the corner or immediately start to process what's going on and realize where or what I did that was wrong. And then make a logical and, I think, reasonable statement about what I had done. And that means when I'm saying I'm sorry, I just don't say I'm sorry. I explain what happened to my thinking so that they understand that I'm looking at it very carefully and will do my very best not to repeat that particular situation. I've had a lot of practice at it. I came in Mark 7.
I made something for you to think about that was on his question. There's a difference in saying you were wrong and saying you were sorry. I've been wrong and not sorry at all sometimes.
I'm Anne from London. And I must admit that my question is, do you pray for specifics? And before I stood up here, I did. I said, could you make me sound coherent and nice, please? However, as a general rule, I don't. But that is something that I learned in Al-Anon. I learned it the hard way by praying for specifics and finding that when I got it, that wasn't what I wanted at all. Or finding out down the road that what you wanted wasn't really the best thing for you. And I pray not only for guidance, but also for the courage to act on it. And you probably recognize those words from your One Day at a Time book. I wrote that beside my bed because I like to start my morning with a prayer and finish my day. As I have things happen to me and I have a very challenging career I've just started, I say, thank you, Lord. I get great answers from my colleagues, I get great answers from the kids I work with, and I tend to see the Lord in everyone and feel that the Lord has given me some great thoughts that day by listening to others. Thank you.
My name is Anne, and I'm also from London. How do you know the will of God? I know the will of God when I feel peace, happiness, and joy. And I feel that always in the presence of another Al-Anon member. I know it's the will of God when I can make a decision without doubt. I know it's the will of God when he puts gifts in my path. I used to drive an old 78 Pontiac. And then I got an 86 Oldsmobile. And for my whole month, I didn't feel right driving this nice new car. And I had to talk to myself about that. And I went out and bought three hats to go with it. I know the will of God today, and his will for me is to share what I have with you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Carol. I'm from Knowlton, Quebec, the Broom Lake Serenity Group. Question is there some special form of meditation which you use? What do you think meditation is? Second half is easier than the first, right? I think meditation is the listening part. It's very hard for me. I also have a brain like a hamster, like you said. I really love that. I took this to heart, you know, meditation is important. So I got all the books and I read all about it and I tried all different forms of meditation. I even went to a yoga meditation group where they told us how to do it. One of the things I love about Al-Anon is nobody tells you this is the way to do it. There are lots of ways of doing meditation and I've tried a lot of them. The way I listen now, sometimes I listen by sitting still and trying to calm my mind. I can only do it for a very short period of time. I live now on a pond, a small lake, and I now meditate these days by watching the beavers. We have beavers on the pond who are feeding babies in the lodge. And in the evening, we sit out on the balcony and we can see the beavers go across the pond and cut down branches. They then drag the branches across the pond and dive with them. You know, their lodge is open underneath the water. And this beaver will go across the pond and dive with the branch to bring it into the lodge to feed the babies. And nature to me, watching that is a way of calming myself down so that I can hear. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Bill.
Hi, Bill.
And I'm a very grateful member of the a 12-week-old Al-Anon group that meets here in the city. I have shared with us some of the times when you are most conscious of your contact with God. Well, just the other day there, a friend of mine had a newborn baby, and we just got introduced to each other, and I just was sort of sitting out in the afternoon sun, and I was holding this little 5-pound little girl, and all you can say to yourself is, wow.
Yeah. Thank you.
My name is Laura, and I belong to North Toronto here in Toronto. Hi, everybody. Please share with us one or two ways by which you carry the Al-Anon message. Well, one way is, the first thing is that I have to keep the focus on me. When I'm asked to do something, I have to think first and foremost, is it for myself? Or is it for my ego? And I have to keep it is for my well-being, being in Al-Anon, and want to get better. I have to be at my regular, I have to go regularly to my own meeting, so that is basically every week. When someone asks me to do something, I have to keep the focus. For what purpose? The other thing is that when asked to do service work outside the group, be willing. But keep in mind, I have to keep in mind, for who is it? Is it for me or is it for my ego? And I want to be, that it is for me, to be, and I'm forever grateful for that, if I can keep in touch my higher power to keep that separate. Because I'm a pretty self-willed person and I have to keep this in focus. Thank you very much.
Hi, everybody. I'm Gail. And I'm a very grateful member of Al-Anon. First of all, I have to let you know I didn't put my hand up. The lady behind me tapped to give her one. Thanks, Babs. Anyway, on the other hand, mine is on step 12. And when I heard you talk about step 12, Blanche, I thought, whew, I wouldn't want to have to define what my spiritual awakening was. And guess what my question is? From what form did your spiritual awakening take? Oh, Lord. I have to just answer what form. And I have to say I didn't get hit by lightning. I didn't have a sudden realization. It's been a very gradual thing. I've always considered myself a very religious person. God and my church has always been a very active part of my life ever since I was a very small child. But it's only in the last 2 years and coming into Al-Anon that I realize I'm not that spiritual. And I am really struggling with a relationship with God and my faith. And so it's been gradually in the realization that I wasn't that spiritual. And now, just even yesterday and today, realizing that it is an important part and that it is becoming a part of me.
My name is Babs Black. My home group is the Addison Al-Anon Family Groups in Dallas, Texas. Good morning. I'm number 19. And before I respond, Blanche, I know this will set your mind at ease. I wanted you to know that I indeed agree with a great deal of what you had to say. Not that this is any of your business, but I will read this nosy little question that you... Where is it most difficult for you to practice these principles? That's assuming that I find it difficult to practice them anywhere.
Right.
And why is that, do you think? Seriously, I'm sure the question, the answer for all of us in this room, or the most of us, would be the same, and that is, of course, at home. I got my sickest at home. The people with whom I lived had the most power over me. And those twists and turns that make us the less than whole people we become. Those twists and turns began there and ran deepest there. I found that for a great deal of my recovery, everybody in my home was in a 12-step program with the exception of the Basset, who I finally had put to sleep. But all the children were, and my husband was sober, and we all were working diligently at our individual recoveries, not our joint recoveries. Our individual recoveries. When my husband left, I found that I almost overnight became a much better Al-Anon at home. Now, I don't know how to explain that, but that is indeed the truth. That's exactly the way it was. today in my life, I'm the only one in that house who is in recovery. And I find I'm back at square one again. It is extremely difficult for me to remember who I am and what I am about, that I am about my Father's work, especially when I'm home. There ought to be a place where I can take off the mask of the recovering Al-Anon. Each time I take it off at home, I discover that I take off a smaller mask. Thank you, God. Each day, I become closer to what I would have you think I am. And someday, with any luck at all and God's help, I may indeed become that person. But until that time comes, I must be ever vigilant, and I must trust that God will help me one more day not to hurt too many people too often in the sacred confines of that home. Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Charlene, and my home group is the Sunday Step Meeting in Montreal. And my question is, do you feel that we work the steps once each and are finished, or that we work them on a continuing basis? Explain. And I've just finished my fifth year of university, so these explain questions on exams are going to, I don't know. And it's interesting, you always get the question you need, because this is something that I've just kind of worked on myself. I was raised in Manitoba Al-Anon and went there for several years, and I went to a really good, strong, service-oriented group. And the first couple of years, I worked really hard on these steps because I was living with active alcoholism. And then once I separated from my alcoholic, I kind of just warmed a seat at the meeting every week because it was clear sailing, and I got myself real busy in university and all these sorts of things. And so I'm not sure I can call it recovery for the next couple of years, but my attendance at Al-Anon consisted of that kind of a thing. And then I moved to Quebec only a year ago. I didn't know too many people and didn't have a sponsor right away, and realized that, oh my goodness, I hadn't been doing this on a daily basis, and I lost my serenity completely. And I've always kind of seen that there's a 13th step, a 13th tradition, and a 13th concept, and it's God granted me serenity, but I need to work all of them in order to feel that. And I lost it completely. And then after realizing that, oh, the reason you lost it is because you weren't doing this on a daily basis. And then I realized that each night as I do a 10th step, if something makes me feel uncomfortable, regardless of what I think it is or isn't, I go right back and I do 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 and 9 on the whole, every single day. So I find that the steps are not 12 separate individual things that you work on separately. They're interwoven, and I can't do one without the one before, the one after, and 3 or 4 previous, and it's just a blending of something that I do on a daily basis. So yes, I do them often. Thanks.
Thank you very, very much for your participation. This has been a very wonderful workshop for me. I learned so much from you. It's ironic in that you should speak of the grief work that you're doing, because I have found in the past year that I have really had to go back over the 12 steps, and I feel that in the past year, the release that I have found by doing another inventory, by sharing more and more and purging myself, and what you've had to say has been so beneficial to me. I wish I could remember everything, or had written down everything you have said, and I'm sure I'll remember it through the day, as I'm sure all of us will. You're a wonderful teacher, and I'm sure your students must just love you. Thank you so very, very much.